We've got a rock star here with us today. And you know, I'm sure you'll talk about, because you always do and your books cover this so greatly, is potential in every one of us and being here in divine purpose. And with that, Kat is going to lead us in a song that's in every one of us. Without further ado, please welcome author, speaker, all-around cool guy, Greg Lavoie.
Red means on. Okay, right. Thank you so much, Christy, for that generous introduction. Thank you. And it's always a pleasure to follow Kat. Oh my God. Thank you. All right. I'm just so delighted to be able to swing this engagement while I'm here for a couple of weeks with my sweetheart Cindy to visit Asheville at this time of the year. So, really a pleasure. And such an awesome autumn we got this year. So incredible. So I'm gonna jump right in. I want to introduce this topic of trust by hearkening back to a different tumultuous time, at least in my life. And that is that back in the 90s, I moved from San Francisco to Taos, New Mexico. Any of you guys ever been to Taos? Okay, wow. And so I had been a freelance writer for magazines and newspapers for about a dozen years before I moved. But as soon as I moved to the desert, work inexplicably dried up. Just assignments just drained away. Editors stopped returning my query letters. My freelance career just unraveled, evaporated. And plus I ended up on food stamps. But throughout it all, I kept hearing this still small voice in my head telling me that there was something afoot, something that I wasn't going to understand for a while, and that all of that was happening for a reason that, frankly, reason couldn't figure out, all right? And to make a long and excruciating story mercifully short for you, among other things, it led to the creation of my book, Callings, okay? But in the throes of it, I kept hearing this refrain in my head, trust the universe, Greg, just trust the universe, which is a spiritual adage that on one hand triggered my skepticism, if not my intellectual gag reflex. although I understand that doubt is not opposed to faith, it's part of it. All right? On the other hand, trust the universe has a long and noble lineage. We know it as let go and let God, trust the process, have faith, don't push the river, and of course, you know, thy will be done. So flash forward 25 years, all right? For most of the last year and a half, all right, a period, of course, of plague and pestilence and in politics and human health, I've been hearing the same refrain in my head, as frankly I often do during periods of uncertainty and challenging times in my life. But I've been trying to drill down into it a bit more this time around. And I've been wondering, what exactly does that mean to trust the universe? What does that mean? You know, what aspects of the universe are you trusting when and if you say, I trust the universe? Right? For instance, if you say you trust the universe, are you saying that you trust its benevolence? Okay, the feeling that you're somehow looked after, which is not something everybody can say, all right? I did one of these presentations earlier this year and on the subject of trusting the universe, and a black woman in the audience raised her hand and in the nicest possible way said, so is trusting the universe another way of saying white privilege? Yeah, so this is a complicated issue, and I apparently have a lot to learn. But, you know, this brings home a very interesting point, which is it's much easier to trust the universe when luck has favored you with, say, a favorable race or sexual orientation, you know, or a loving family or a good health, good education, regular paycheck, etc. Much harder to get behind when your ration of luck includes maybe being born into poverty, or a war zone, or a violent family, or you know, you're a paycheck away from homelessness, or you're homeless. You know, one of them is likely to fill you with a feeling of paranoia, which is the belief actually that the universe is conspiring against you, and the other is likely to fill you with what's called pronoia, which is the belief that the universe is conspiring in your favor, okay? Now, an interviewer once reportedly asked Albert Einstein, of all the questions you've posed into the mysteries of the universe, Mr. Einstein, what do you think is the most important question to ask? And Albert Einstein reportedly said, is the universe a friendly place or not? Okay, so how you answer that question
is likely to impact, if not determine, how your life unfolds. You know, how you're going to interpret and respond to the things that happen to you, including events like a pandemic, right? Or losing, having your career evaporate in front of your eyes. You know, in a sense, it's your, I don't know, default position to life, either optimistic or pessimistic, right? So, you might, by the way, also ask yourself whether you believe the universe is a meaningful place or not. Just sort of an ancillary question. Is the universe a meaningful? Because if you believe that it is, you're much more likely to trust that whatever happens, you're going to be able to find some meaning and some purpose in it. Okay? Now, if by friendly we mean favorably disposed toward, I just looked it up. That's the dictionary definition of friendly. Okay? Favorably disposed toward. If that's your working definition, it seems to me the universe is clearly a friendly place. I mean, it created us, gave us life, gave us a habitable planet to live on, gave us each other, okay? So in that sense, it seems like it's a friendly place to me. And because we, individually and collectively, we are capable of love and kindness and empathy, it seems to me that the universe would also be composed of those qualities. I mean, if nothing else, through us, all right? And it's one thing, though, to say that the universe has a heart, okay? I think it's another to feel it, to really feel it viscerally and to believe it, you know, to believe that even in your darkest hours, and I would venture to guess that most of us have had a couple of those in the last year and a half, that even so, life is still, and perhaps ultimately, good and beautiful and benevolent. You know, that even if and when the bottom falls out, and I know that it has for a lot of people in the last couple of years, even when the bottom falls out, the universe, if you will, still gives you earth to land on, right? People to commiserate with, and a mind that can imagine better days, or at least remember them, you know? And each of us is also a piece of the universe. In other words, the universe is not just something that's out there in outer space. You know, I think a lot of people, myself included, think of like the universe is the stars and the ethers and the heavens and whatnot. Each one of us is a piece of the universe. And so you might ask yourself if you yourself are a friendly place or not. You know what I mean? Do you trust yourself? Do you treat yourself with compassion or judgment or indifference? Some people think the universe is just an indifferent place, right? If your internal organs could speak, okay, or that spiritual organ that we refer to as a soul, all right, or for that matter, the roughly 40 trillion individual bacterial beings that make up each one of our bodies and with whom we co-evolved, if you ask them, would they say that you're a friendly universe or not? I mean, because you're the universe in which they go about their business. Would they trust your essential goodness? You know, amicability, your empathy and your support of them. Okay? Here's another one. If you say you trust the universe, are you saying that you trust that it operates in mysterious ways? Okay? I think it does, myself. Though those mysterious ways are often counter to my own agendas. I find this incredibly inconvenient, but that seems to be the nature of the beast. I think it's possible to build my tolerance for mystery and uncertainty, which life at the moment is specializing in. But I think you can build your tolerance for mystery by studying the natural world, or studying the human psyche, you know, or the creative process, or just your own dreams. Because all of those, in my opinion, my experience, are chock full of mystery. They are. They're full of it. So it's a really great place to be a student. All right? If you say you trust the universe, are you saying that you trust that life supports growth? Life supports growth. All right? In which case, although I would add that I think it's a cycling constantly back and forth and back and forth between growth and decay, and growth and decay and growth and decay and growth, right? But what that means to me is that if you were to stick with any given crisis long enough, all right? In other words, ride it out in full consciousness with all instruments turned to the on position, it would eventually lead you back to growth. Or forward to growth. In other words, that any given crisis will eventually somehow evolve or resolve into what the mythologist Joseph Campbell, remember him, called a directive crisis. All right? What Gail Sheehy, who wrote the book Passages, called falling up. I love this concept, falling up. And I think just what the rest of us refer to as, you know, turning lemons into lemonade. Okay? So another one or two. One of the things that I have found myself in the course of my life is there's a repeating pattern. This is part of my relationship now to trusting the universe. There's a repeating pattern I've noticed of setbacks setting me up for breakthroughs. That sound familiar, right, as a pattern? Failures leading me to opportunities, or what one of my favorite philosophers, Homer Simpson, calls crisitunities. I love that concept. I had this slight aside here. I had a mentor of mine once say to me when I told him I was terrified of failing at a particular enterprise, he said, Greg, If you're not failing regularly, you're living so far below your potential that you're failing anyway. That's why I had lunch with him maybe once a year. And so I've discovered that there's two kinds of mentors. There's, you know, there's regular mentors, and then there's tormentors, which really ultimately is a good thing. It just means cultivating relationships with people who are not afraid to make fun of the king or the queen. Perfectly happy to run tire tracks right across your neat suburban lawn. And I think these are good people to cultivate. If you say you trust the universe, are you saying that you trust that life operates on a kind of a like attracts like basis? All right? Like attracts like. Which would mean that, I mean, here's one example. If keeping your chin up in the midst of a challenging period, keeping your chin up should set up something like a similar frequency in the world around you, which is just the basis of what people refer to as the law of attraction. Or, one more, if you say you trust the universe, are you really just saying you trust your own resilience? You trust your own resilience, your own ability to choose how you're going to respond to whatever the universe throws at you. All right? Now, the definition of trusting something, anything, the definition of trusting something is believing in its reliability. Okay? Again, dictionary definition, believing in its reliability. So right off the bat, there's a catch here. Because, you know, the universe is clearly reliable. I mean, you know, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, gravity works. And the universe is also reliably unpredictable. Okay? I'm thinking of chaos theory. Or Murphy's Law. Right? Or the law of entropy. Or if you don't mind me saying so, on a Sunday morning at church, the famous shit that happens. Okay? So saying you trust the universe has to include trusting that it is chaotic and random as well. And that these are forces that operate on affairs down here on the home planet. Okay? But it means trusting the universe really to be itself, which is a combination of reliable and unreliable. And what this requires, is that you cultivate a skill that I once heard somebody describe as heroism redefined for the modern age, which is the ability to tolerate paradox, to hold two seemingly contrary forces, ideas, impulses, energies, beliefs inside you at the same time, and still retain the ability to function, if not hang on to your marbles and your cookies and your lunch. You know, it requires this skill. So faith and fear, us and them, head and heart, masculine and feminine, just pick your duality. Okay, I think that requires that. And part of the beauty of practicing the skill of paradox is that it not only builds tremendous resilience into people. You know, in other words, you know, you have to stretch wide enough to encompass opposites within you without splitting down the middle. But it also, in my experience, it mitigates against tyranny. The practice of paradox mitigates against tyranny. And all tyranny is elevating one principle and suppressing the others. That's really kind of a baseline definition, I think, of tyranny. And that happens as much inside people as between them. Inside people, as does, here's again a slight aside, diversity and inclusion, which are hot topics nowadays, gratefully so, given the widespread conversations around systemic racism, social injustice. But D&I is not just something that takes place in teams, corporations, governments, you know, in those arenas. It's also something that happens within a person. You know, for instance, what parts of you do you exclude from consciousness? Right? What parts of your, what voices in your head do you not like to invite to the table? Right? What unconscious biases do you have toward parts of your own personality? You know, this is the work of diversity and inclusion. It starts in here, as does the work of holding paradox and mitigating against tyranny. It starts in here because all these things form these parts that we exclude from the room. They form what Carl Jung called shadow. And there is no getting away from shadow unless you're a vampire. But paradox requires that you bring these two opposing energies together to talk to one another. You bring them together to talk to one another, all right? To be in dialogue with one another. Who was it? Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings, he once said, it doesn't do you any good to leave a dragon out of your calculations if you live near him. You gotta bring him to the table. So trusting the universe, and of course finding some meaning and purpose in any given manifestation of the universe, including a pandemic and whatnot, I think may ultimately come down to staying in conversation with the universe. Trusting the universe may come down to staying in conversation, in correspondence with the universe. And I think there's lots of ways of doing that, all right? Dialoguing with the dragons in your life. Asking for dream guidance. listening to your body, trusting intuition and synchronicity, spending time out in the natural world, meditation, prayer, journaling is actually a beautiful way of staying in connection with the bigger picture. I'm thinking of something a guy named Ira Progoff once said. He is really kind of the grandfather of personal journaling. He started a system in the 1960s called the Intensive Journaling Process and wrote a book called At a Journal Workshop, which I attended in San Francisco right before he died. He said, the point of journaling is to go down deeply enough into your own well that you eventually hit the stream that's the source of all the wells, which I find just ravishing for one thing, but suggests that journaling is a perfect tool for staying in conversation with the universe. And of course, just because I've been a journalist most of my life, just a way to feel your way through the events of your life, including really challenging ones. It's a really good tool for that. One of my own responses to the pandemic, and specifically to the financial anxiety that it's brought into my life, or I should say brought out of me, that's closer to the truth, is that I've changed my morning routine to now include an act of trust. All right, not just an abstract notion of trusting the universe, but an actual act of trust. So my morning routine now typically involves 15 or 20 minutes of playing the piano before going into my office to work. And I'm doing that partly to demonstrate to myself that I can afford the time to do that. Okay, an act of trust, not just a high opinion I have of myself. Okay, which I'm very prone to. But an act of trust, all right? So, in fact, really one of the diagnostics I use anymore to know whether I'm actually trusting the universe is when I make counterintuitive decisions like that, right? Responding to fear, for instance, with surrender rather than striving all the time, right? Or I choose passion over security sometimes, or make the growth choice over the fear choice, right? Or just try to allow things to happen more than always trying to make them happen. Make money, make a living, make ends meet, make headway, make a difference, you know? Just more allowing, all right? Fact is, I just think it's easier to trust the universe when you're doing your part. As in acts of trust, when you're doing your part. So not just being patient and faithful and waiting for the universe to deliver, but being actively patient, as in God helps those who help themselves, as in trust Allah, but tie your camel to a post. All right? As in luck favors the prepared mind. This is something Louis Pasteur told us to do. Luck favors the prepared mind, okay? And besides, you know, the origin of the word to wait is to watch. The origin of the word wait is to watch. So waiting doesn't just mean sitting around twiddling your thumbs, right? It means being attentive. It means being attentive. That is one of the key conversational skills, in my opinion, is to be attentive. Right, to have a deep curiosity about the other, whether that's the person sitting next to you or the universe itself. Deep sense of curiosity, right? So, as Christy had quoted from a piece I wrote on this subject, I think ultimately this trusting the universe idea is really a spiritual idea ultimately. It's not about strategizing necessarily or creating new affirmations or doing behavior mod of some kind, all of which are great ideas, as much as it is kind of sitting respectfully with things as they are. A high art, I understand this, sitting respectfully with things as they are, letting yourself feel whatever you feel about a situation without even needing to understand it, no, let's do something about it. And of course, you know, building a certain amount of forbearance for mystery and uncertainty. Right? So, some of this may actually begin by answering Einstein's question. Answer Einstein's question for yourself. Is the universe a friendly place or not? And maybe ask yourself why. Why do I believe the universe is either friendly or not? And kind of deconstruct it a little bit. Take it apart and see what its, you know, its moving parts are. So I wish us all, myself included, great good luck in learning to trust the universe and creating acts of trust and striking up that mutually friendly rapport with the universe that we live in and that lives within us, all right? And I just want to say in closing that it's not a webinar, it's a workshop, it's an actual in-person workshop. The workshop this afternoon is just a very hands-on opportunity. This is not lecture format. A very hands-on opportunity to explore your own relationship to trusting the universe, what that means actually for you, how that shows up, and how you create acts of trust and bundle them into your day-to-day life. So I hope you'll come and join us in, a community of fellow seekers. And thank you again. Thank you so much, Christy, for bringing me back and having faith in my work. And thank you guys for inviting me.